Michigan has long been a battleground in national politics. I remember reporting from Macomb County, the birthplace of Reagan Democrats, 2 weeks before the election of 2000, and being told the union vote, once solid Democrat, would be pivotal. Today, Michigan is a toss-up state in the fight for control of the U.S. Senate. And in next Tuesday's primaries, all eyes will be on the black vote. As Simon Montlake reports from Detroit and Flint, Michigan, black voters might be the key to deciding who emerges as the Democratic nominee for Senate. Mainstream Representative Haley Stevens or left-leaning Abdul Sayed. It's Thursday, July 30th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning, I'm Linda Feldman. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. Anthony Fauci repeatedly invoked the Fifth Amendment during a Senate hearing. Republican Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky subpoenaed Dr. Fauci, who served as a top medical advisor to the Trump and Biden administrations, for a hearing about his handling of the COVID-19 pandemic. During opening remarks, Dr. Fauci accused Mr. Paul of having an obvious obsession with calling for my prosecution. On Saturday, the senator released more than 1,100 pages from a diary that Dr. Fauci kept during the pandemic. Dr. Fauci's critics have been scrutinizing it for discrepancies between what he said publicly and what he wrote privately. FIFA unveiled a controversial plan for a subsidiary to run soccer's World Cup. Gianni Infantino, the international governing body's president, said FIFA would seek private investors for a 20% minority stake in a new $20 billion subsidiary. In response, the Union of European Football Associations, or UEFA, accelerated efforts to hold an emergency meeting with its 55-member national associations to discuss plans, which included the possibility of a World Cup boycott. The private investors have ties with both J.P. Morgan Chase and the Trump administration. Investor Thrive Eternal was founded by Joshua Kushner, the brother of President Donald Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner. Also, President Trump announced he will honor a lifeguard who saved a 10-year-old from drowning. The 16-year-old lifeguard jumped into a heavy swell off Santa Cruz, California, to rescue a young boy who was repeatedly submerged by waves. Mr. Trump saw a video clip of the rescue and reposted it to his Truth Social account on Tuesday. In the post, Mr. Trump detailed plans to give the heroic young lifeguard a high civilian honor and to invite him and his family to the White House. An editor's note. A news brief yesterday included an incorrect official title for Benjamin Netanyahu. He's Israel's prime minister. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. Tuesday's primary for Michigan's open Senate seat is serving as a proxy battle over the Democratic Party's future. Underscoring racial and generational divisions over everything from healthcare to immigration to aid for Israel. How it all plays out could shape the direction of the party, including the 2028 presidential race. Simon Montlake reports from Detroit and Flint, Michigan for The Monitor. The collapse of a potential compromise for reopening the Strait of Hormuz and a new round of direct attacks between the United States and Iran could lead to more expansion of the conflict in the Middle East. Taylor Luck reports from Amman, Jordan for The Monitor. Britain's new prime minister wants to restore faith in democracy by giving greater power to English regions away from London. An election for mayor of Greater Manchester this week could give an early indication of the plan's popularity. Contributor Katie Marie Davies reports from Rochdale, England for The Monitor. Takaichi Sanai's unapologetic ambition, political savvy, and work ethic drove her to Japan's top political post and are now helping her navigate one of the most challenging first years for a prime minister in the country's history. Ann Scott Tyson reports from Tokyo and Nara, Japan for The Monitor. President Donald Trump has directed the U.S. government to pay billions to halt wind energy projects. The deals involve redirecting funds toward fossil fuels and other conventional energy projects. In response, some states have sued. Cameron Pugh reports for The Monitor. Faith played an important role in America's birth, even as the Founding Fathers rejected the idea of a state religion. Today, many Americans are turning to their churches and receiving guidance that ranges across the political spectrum. Scott Baldoff reports for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on how parents in prison are finding new ways to sustain family bonds. The steady growth in the number of women imprisoned in the United States in recent decades has drawn attention to the toll it places on public budgets, as well as on family and social stability. New research in June showed it costs 25% to 75% more to hold a woman in prison, compared with the national annual average of $70,000 per person. This is largely a function of fewer and smaller facilities for women, as well as outsourced health care. But a cost not easily captured in dollar terms has begun to shift the emphasis in correction systems from punitive to redemptive justice and detention. The cost in lost parental care and affection experienced by the more than 2.7 million children in the U.S., half of them under 10 years of age, who have a parent in incarceration. A child's need for parental presence, affection, and family stability has been well documented. Research also confirms that the negative impacts of a parent's absence are amplified when the imprisoned parent is a mother. Women who come in contact with the criminal justice system are more likely than men to be parents, and twice as likely as fathers to be the primary caretakers of their children, according to Anne Presythe, a former director of the Missouri Department of Corrections. These women are central to their family's daily functioning, putting dinner on the table, taking children to school, caring for elderly relatives, she wrote on the news site Governing this month. The American justice system has shown an increasing willingness to meet the challenges of helping imprisoned caregivers fulfill their responsibilities to both society and their children. Most women in prison, Ms. Presythe pointed out, were not convicted of violent offenses or new crimes, but rather were there for probation violations or court-ordered substance use treatment. We can hold women accountable for breaking the law while using prison more judiciously, she observed. More and more, facilities are offering simple, low-cost parenting education and skills programs that help both fathers and mothers. And nonprofits are working to support more frequent virtual and in-person visits by children that include meaningful interactions. These can involve reading a book together or a parent recording a book reading that is then sent home. Another approach, such as in Washington State, is alternative sentencing, which allows eligible parents to serve part or all of a sentence at home under intensive community supervision or electronic monitoring. When it comes to mothers of very young children, co-residence or prison nursery programs are impactful, but still rare. An estimated 58,000 pregnant women enter jail or prison annually, and the majority are separated from their babies soon after birth. A 2025 report found that only 8 state-run facilities operate such prison nurseries. Yet their positive impact is substantial. There was a 28% reduction in recidivism in Nebraska, while in Illinois, only 3% of the mothers returned to prison for new crimes. And the children who initially spend time closer to their mothers in prison nurseries exhibit better mental health and academic outcomes than those who are separated from their mothers after delivery. Such reforms are not just about restoring families, but also about breaking generational cycles of crime and punishment and building safer, healthier communities, stated Oklahoma First Lady Sarah Stitt. She was an advisor to a study last year by the Council on Criminal Justice that proposed alternatives to imprisonment for parents of young children. The cornerstone of such ideas is a child's right to uninterrupted care by a parent, the bond of love at the heart of a society's harmony. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how in the universe of God, who is infinite love, there can be no competition for or lack of unlimited good. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Alyssa Britton, Mackenzie Farkas, and Emily Staunton.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America. Copyright 2026.